taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans, and welcome to the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. I'm glad you could join me today, because today we're talking about freedom and this desire to let freedom ring. We hear it all the time, right? It's a nice little catchphrase. Let freedom ring, let freedom ring. What do we mean? You see, we forget that freedom doesn't come from somewhere else. Government isn't the one that grants you freedom. Federal government, state government, local government. Freedom is something you have inherently. You have inherent power, nature. It's part of being human. As the Constitution of many of our states say, in fact, as the Constitution of Tennessee states, all power is inherent in the people. That includes the power to live free. But too often, I think we decide to, well, sit back and let someone else decide whether or not we're free. I think we've done that for most of the last 2 years. Actually, we've probably done it for more than like the last two decades. But the last 2 years have really shown the tyranny that comes when the American people forget that they're responsible for their own freedom. Now, we've been watching what's been going on north of the border with the Canadian Freedom Convoy. And we're watching what's going on with America's Freedom Convoy. This group of truckers that is traveling across the country with the goal of ending up in Washington, D.C., in front of the Capitol and the White House, and letting those in government know that they're not happy. That they want to live as free citizens. And they're not going to ask the government to let them live free. They're simply going to do it and challenge the government to stop them. See, that's letting freedom ring, the willingness to live as a free citizen, not as a subject of government. Now, it's scary, especially nowadays when we haven't been educated, we haven't been trained in this idea of freedom. You know, think back to the 1940s when men and women volunteered to fight to protect freedom. They volunteered to go overseas, to risk their lives, because freedom and the protection of freedom was worth the risk. It was worth the challenge. Those at home sacrificed. They donated goods that were necessary for the war effort. They gave up certain things because they were needed for the war effort, because it was worth it, because freedom was that important. Compare the greatest generation to today's generation and ask, which of them would you rather have fighting for your freedom? Personally, I'll take just about anybody out of the greatest generation over the most of the people that I've seen in the current generation. But it doesn't have to be that way. So I believe, as Thomas Jefferson said, a country that wishes to be ignorant and free wants what never was and never will be. So if we're going to let freedom ring, we really need to educate ourselves. You know, as John Jay said, every member of the state ought diligently to read and study the Constitution of his country and teach a rising generation to be free. Why? By knowing their rights, they'll sooner perceive when they're violated and be the better prepared to defend and assert them. Education. Knowing your rights. Being prepared to defend them and assert them. Now, regardless of how you express your freedom, your liberty, it's important that we do so within the bounds of law, of the actual law, the supreme law of the land, and that we also be willing to support people that have a different standard. They express their freedom differently. So as we watched what was going on in Canada, and people were saying, you know, what is the U.S. going to do the same thing? And it looks like there are truckers in the U.S. that are doing the same thing. They are traveling across the country, building momentum to this idea of no longer living under a tyrannical government, reminding the government that they exercise only powers at our consent, that we the people are the masters of Congresses and courts, not to overturn the Constitution, but to overturn the men who pervert the Constitution, as Abraham Lincoln said. Or as James A. Garfield said, now more than ever, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. If that body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it's because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption. If it be intelligent, brave, and pure, it's because the people demand these high qualities to represent them in the national legislature. What is true for the Congress is just as true for every elected office, every elected official. If our state legislatures, our governors, our president, even to that extent, our courts are intelligent, brave, and pure, it's because we demand them. We demand those high qualities. We will accept nothing less. If it be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it's because we tolerate it. In other words, it's our fault. So as this convoy makes its way towards D.C., what is the reaction? What is the reaction of that government? Now, if there's one thing I've learned in my years on this earth is that bullies rarely like to be challenged. They don't like it when people stand up to them. So I was not at all surprised when I heard that the defense secretary has approved providing of unarmed National Guard troops to be deployed to Washington, D.C. in preparation for this convoy. Now, there's, of course, a couple things that I'd like to point out. We'll get to them in a minute. First of all, it actually was the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department that requested the Department of Defense provide these National Guard members. There's also, by the way, the U.S. Capitol Police asked for assistance as well. So what you have is the officials of the federal city known as Washington, D.C., requesting help of the district's National Guard. What's interesting is they asked the Department of Defense. Now, most people say, well, where else would you ask? Isn't the National Guard part of the Department of Defense? Well, it's a little odd when you're dealing with the District of Columbia because it's a federal city, so it's not a state militia. They're not under state approval. But the Constitution points out in Article 4, Section 4, that generally it's the state legislature or the state executive that asks the United States for protection against domestic violence. Well, D.C.'s not a state. It doesn't have that limitation, right? It's part of the federal government. But it is the power under Article 1, Section 8, the power of Congress to provide for the calling forth of the militia in order to execute the laws of the Union. So, okay. By the way, it's also to suppress insurrection and invasion. We'll have to wait and see what Congress does with that. So the question is, has Congress delegated to the Department of Defense the authority to bring up the D.C. National Guard at the request of D.C. law enforcement? I don't know. I would probably go crazy if I tried to read all of the federal laws, but that one of the questions I brought up. So my first reaction when I hear this is that, hey, you know what? They're calling forth the guard before the truckers even show up. But then I looked a little closer, and I noticed that these were going to be unarmed members of the Guard, and that their primary duty will be supporting traffic posts, command and control, other things. In other words, they're there in a supporting role, not so much a law enforcement role. In fact, according to The Hill, the deployed troops will not carry firearms, take part in law enforcement, or carry out domestic surveillance. Now, and no aircraft have been approved for use. So these are basically there to support the logistics of the the logistic support for MCP and USCP, the police departments of the Capitol, the MPD, Metropolitan Police Department, and the USCP, the U.S. Capitol Police. But it made me, still makes me think, they are expecting problems. They're expecting some sort of problem. Now, maybe all they're looking at is traffic control. Maybe that's their entire consideration. But that doesn't sit well. That doesn't seem to be in character for how this government has reacted to people showing up and demonstrating against their draconian actions. So here we have a group of truckers. How large, we do not yet know. We don't know how many people will join them, who will support them from afar, who will support them in D.C. We have a group of truckers that are showing up to demonstrate against the draconian actions of our federal government. And I don't have a problem per se with it. Another, you know, this is their right to peaceably assemble as long as they are peaceful. They can assemble, they can demonstrate, they can express their displeasure. No problem with that whatsoever. And being that many of these truckers probably participate in interstate commerce, makes sense that they would demonstrate against the federal government. See, regulating interstate commerce is a power delegated to the United States. But I also wonder how many of these truckers and how many of the people who will show up to support them have taken any time to engage with their state or local governments about protecting them from these illegal executive orders. I mean, we haven't seen laws passed to do this. These are primarily, again, illegal executive orders, overreach of the bureaucracy. Letting freedom ring doesn't mean getting Washington to protect your rights. It means protecting your own rights and getting your local government to do their job to protect your rights. You see, part of the role of the local government is to protect you. Think of it like a layer cake or layers of defense. You've got basically three fence lines, right? If you imagine, a field that you're trying to defend, or imagine a football game where you land up your defenders in three rows. You have three rows to get through. Now, if the attack comes from foreign entities, the first to deal with it are the feds. That's their job. That's why we created them. Now, then we have the states, and then we have the governments, and we have the local governments. So if we're looking at the feds, that's fine. But see, the federal government doesn't protect you from the bad actions of, say, your governor. And your local entities could save you not only against your bad state actors, but misbehavior in, say, school boards or county government or city government. So, well, this is good. I have no problems with this. What I don't want is for everybody to become so focused on, look at what the truckers are doing. They think that's all that has to happen. They think they don't have the responsibility to engage locally. I still say every American should get to know their sheriff and understand, will the sheriff protect their rights against all enemies, foreign and domestic? Will they stand up against illegal federal executive orders, against illegal governor, state-based executive orders, against laws that violate your rights, that violate the Constitution they swore to uphold, whether that be state or local? If your sheriff will not protect you, you need a better sheriff. They're not doing their job. When they're up for a job review, which is called an election, we need to find a better one. That is how we let freedom ring. The truckers are a great show. And again, I have no problem with them doing it. I just don't want the American people to become so focused on the truckers that they forget it's still their responsibility to protect their rights, to protect their families. And the best way to do so is to make sure you have local protections, because they can defend you not simply against the bad actions out of Washington, but out of your state house as well. So that's kind of step one in letting freedom ring is rejoice in those that are standing up for liberty. Join them, support them, but don't let the national focus distract you from the rest of the work that needs to get done. Because there's a lot of other work to get done. And part of letting freedom ring means having an open and transparent government. Now, we all realize there are certain things that need to be kept secret. Even the framers of the Constitution understood that there were times when Congress could not put stuff in their journal because secrecy was necessary. But the thing about secrecy is it can often be used for nefarious purposes. Now, I stumbled across an article in the Epoch Times dealing with a Utah attorney named Jesse, and I'm sorry, I'm going to mispronounce his last name, Trentadue. Sorry about that. And he's filed a lawsuit since back in 2006 against the FBI and the CIA. Now, it's not so much the specifics of the lawsuit. It has to deal with the Oklahoma City bombing. But what I find interesting is in his research and in what he's been working on, he came across an FBI program known as Patriot Conspiracy, or PATCON, a secret operation to infiltrate right-wing and domestic extremist groups. Now, some of you might say, well, boy, you know, domestic extremists, you know, yeah, we should be involved with those, but they specifically say right-wing and domestic extremist groups, meaning it's not just the extremists, it's those who are to the right of center. Those who would otherwise be known as, oh, I don't know, conservatives, possibly those who demonstrated on January 6th, maybe even those who are supporting the Freedom Convoy. Now, the FBI's objective, according to this attorney, the FBI's objective with PATCON is to infiltrate and to incite these fringe groups to violence. Now, think about that and some of the things have been said about January 6th. The number of the videos of January 6th demonstrators saying, stop, don't do this, this is not what we're about, as they watch certain elements act violently. But notice we're talking about the FBI not simply infiltrating, not simply entering these groups to collect data, but to incite them to violence, to come up with an excuse to crack down on these groups. It reminds me a lot of the militia movement and this push to give the term militia a bad name. Funny, we have militias that are enshrined in the Constitution of the United States. That the states have a militia, that their officers are appointed by state officers, they serve the state unless they're called up by the Congress. Could it be that these state militia groups were infiltrated and incited to commit violence? Could it be that there were incitements to violence in the January 6th event? Could it even be that some of the BLM and Antifa violence that we saw in the middle of 2020 were incited by FBI, CIA, or other government actors? Is it even possible that the Freedom Convoy, when it makes its way to Washington, D.C., might be infiltrated by a FBI group with the goal of, among other things, inciting the group to violence, giving those in power the excuse to crush them legally because they committed violence? It's possible. Again, evidence on it, as far as I've seen so far, is fairly weak, although this Mr. Trentadue is currently in court trying to get access to records under the Freedom of Information Act about what happened with the Oklahoma City bombing and the use of of PatCon, and both the FBI and the CIA in hiding information from us. Now, this is going to take a while to come through. I mean, this is going to take time to be dealt with in courts. Finding out the real data, the real history, is going to be a difficult thing. But part of letting freedom ring is this idea of being able to access governmental information and not allowing things to be done in the dark that don't need to be done in the dark. Because I can understand the FBI not wanting to broadcast that they are infiltrating groups that they think may be violent or dangerous. They're talking, you know, domestic extremists. I am a little concerned that they are picking a political side in this when they refer to right-wing extreme, you know, the right-wing and not left-wing. In other words, they're going to infiltrate, Oath Keepers, but not Antifa? That's a political statement, not a legal one. But if it's true that the FBI is not simply infiltrating these groups, but inciting some of these groups to violence, then what you have is the government inciting violence against its own people. And you have people in government that may be doing this. It's possible. This needs to be investigated, needs to be done out in the open. This needs to see the light of day. And yes, it's going to, if it's true, if any part of it is true, it's going to embarrass people in the FBI, in the CIA, probably in several administrations, because this has been going on, according to Mr. Trentadu, for years, decades. But we need to know about it. Let freedom ring means we need to see what our government does, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And if we allow bad actors to hide their bad actions behind a call for secrecy or operational security or, you know, just we know better, trust us, well, then freedom doesn't ring. Because everybody that wishes to do something nefarious can come up with a good reason to keep it secret. That's why I say letting freedom ring is not about having other groups protect your freedom, to protect your rights. It's not bad to have them, but ultimately the responsibility is yours, and the responsibility is mine. To defend our own freedoms, the freedoms of our family, and to protect the freedoms of our neighbors. See, if we are dealing locally with the protection of freedom, well, state and national bad actors have less place to hide. It's harder for them to hide their bad actions. It's harder for them to get away with infringements on our rights. Because we get in the way. We find out about it. So I'm curious what's going on with this particular Utah attorney. I think maybe I want to follow a bit more about what's going on with his investigation. Again, interesting. Worth keeping an eye out, because if Mr. Trentadu is correct, then your government is actually out to incite violence against you as an excuse to commit violence against you. And that's not a pretty place to be. That's not free. That is Tin Pot Dictator. That's, you know, Banana Republic, Soviet Union, Communist China, North Korea, that, you know, Cuba. That is that level of evil that may or may not be residing right here in the good old U.S. of A. Now, I have to head off to a break, but before I do, please do me a favor. One of the things you can check out is a place called the 917 Society, 917society.org. You know, they're working to get constitutions in the hands of every eighth grader in the country every year. It's a not-for-profit organization, and if you can help either by donation or by volunteering to help put constitutions in the hands of the children in your district, well, please do. So reach out to 917society.org. You can also head to constitutionstudy.com, find out more about the work that we're doing here. Maybe you want to join, maybe you want to participate, maybe you want to ask a question or invite me to come speak to one of your events. That's available at constitutionstudy.com. Also, please check out healthycell.com. They help sponsor this program to bring it to you. So if you can support the work that they're doing, that would be wonderful. Now, they've redesigned the vitamin. They've reinvented it to work at the cellular level to boost your immune health, to help you sleep better, or to focus. You can find it all at healthycell.com. Now, I've been using the Immune Super Boost. In fact, actually, I just used the Focus and Recall. I had to record this episode. It was getting a little later, and I was getting a little fuzzy and hard to concentrate. I take the Focus and Recall, and in a few minutes, boom, I'm on par and ready to go. It's a pill-free gel. Mix it in water or a drink, or just take the gel directly. Now, as an America Out Loud listener, you get 20% off your first order. So head to healthycell.com. Again, try Focus and Recall or any of their products. Just make sure when you check out, use that code OUTLOUD. It gets you 20% off, and it lets Healthy Cell know that you listen to America Out Loud, and hopefully to the Constitution Study. So give that a try. Make sure you get your 20% off by using the code OUTLOUD at checkout.
It's time to rethink COVID disinfection. A study by Harvard, Drexel, and Virginia Tech concluded, we don't have a single documented case of COVID transmission through surfaces. The reality is that COVID spreads mainly through the air. Shared air is the problem, not shared surfaces. The solution is the Genesis Fogger, which uses natural HOCl to disinfect both air and surfaces simultaneously. It's perfect for home or business. NIH says HOCl may well be the disinfectant of choice for coronaviruses. There's nothing more natural or more effective. Genesis fogs at the precise particle size to combat COVID and other harmful pathogens. It's what's missing from your disinfecting protocol. Visit genesisfogger.com. America Out Loud listeners receive a 15% discount with promo code OUTLOUD at genesisfogger.com/outloud.
Our invincible American spirit drives the most audacious experiment in the history of self-government. America Out Loud celebrates the American spirit every minute of every day. AmericaOutloud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Because of COVID-19, many Americans worry about their health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per month. But by simply keeping our immune system strong, we can stay healthy and put our worries at ease. One little known way to do this is by taking AC11, a patented supplement from a plant in the Amazon rainforest. Studied for over 20 years and backed by over 40 scientific peer-reviewed studies, taking AC11 has been proven to extend the life of immune cells called leukocytes, allowing you to boost immunity naturally. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of AC11. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study, and today we're learning to let freedom ring. That's right, living as free citizens, not as subjects. First half of the program, we talked about the America's Freedom Convoy and the preparations that are being made in D.C. to greet it. We also talked about some potential revelations. A lawyer out of Utah who is suing the federal government to get information about some programs with the FBI and the CIA that may not only may involve not only the Oklahoma City bombing, but operations within the FBI to not only infiltrate extremist groups, but political groups, even to the point of incenting violence in order to get them shut down. But there's more here. There are five states currently suing President Biden over the minimum wage for federal contractors. Attorneys general from Arizona, Idaho, Indiana, Nebraska, and South Carolina have sued the federal government over the current minimum wage for federal contractors. Now, there's a couple interesting things I find about this. You see, the lawsuit notes that the U.S. Senate specifically rejected the administration's proposal for a $15 an hour minimum wage. Now, this was part of a coronavirus relief package and went down in a 42-58 vote, but Biden simply announced it via regulation. See, the Department of Labor simply said a set a rule that said there must be that all employers that involved in federal contracts must pay a $15 an hour minimum wage for its employees that are working on those contracts. Now, let's start with a little back up just a little bit. Does the federal government have the authority to demand that people that work on their contract meet certain minimum requirements? Yes. Can they include the minimum wage that must be paid? I believe it's foolish, but yes, the same way you can require if you're getting work done on your house, you can require that all the contractors pay a minimum wage. You can make it as part of the deal. That's fine. Does the president have the authority to establish that minimum wage? There's the rub. You see, because any money the president spent or spent by the administration must first be appropriated by Congress. And unless the Congress requires that minimum wage, or at least authorizes the executive to require minimum wage, the president has no legal authority to do so. Now, is that going to sway a federal judge? I doubt it. I mean, I've dealt with plenty of cases involving the federal courts, and so far have not been overly impressed by their grasp of the plain, simple language of the Constitution. So I don't know where this is going to go. But what I find interesting is we have five attorneys general that are suing in federal court to get the federal government to stop the federal government from mandating minimum wages in a way that violates the Constitution of the United States. That's basically what's going on. What happened to the sovereignty of the states? See, again, remember, the federal government exists because the states ratified, the original 13 states ratified a constitution that created the federal government. It created the union, and that union has a government. The remaining 37 states, upon joining the union, entered into that compact with the original 13 states. So it's the states and the people in those states that get to tell the federal government what it can and cannot do. Now, is it right for the states to sue in federal court? I believe as a first step, yes. I'm working on an article where I'm going to go into this concept of nullification. I want to go into it in much more detail, and I don't have the time to do it here. But in general, what you have are the states asking the court for their opinion, is it legal for the president to enact a minimum wage for federal contractors that was specifically rejected by Congress? And it should be an interesting outcome. I'll wait and see how this particular suit proceeds, and probably talk more about it later as it matures and goes through the legal system. But I want you to, think about the details. You have the president ignoring Congress and spending money on contracts with provisions that were not authorized by Congress. You see, the president doesn't have the authority to spend money that directly. Article 1, Section 9 says, no money shall be drawn for the Treasury but in consequence of appropriation made by law. So unless Congress passes a law to appropriate money, the federal government has no authority to spend that money. And when it comes to placing restrictions on private citizens that wish to bid or participate in federal contracts, private citizens, privately owned companies, is it right for the federal government to make that a requirement? Again, I'm not real sanguine about it. On the one hand, I look at it and say, like I said, you have the right to price out certain competitors. Is that right for the federal government to do it? Personally, I think it's a boneheaded move. Is it legal? I haven't seen a good argument against it yet. In other words, when it comes to placing, well, for example, could the federal government say that they would not employ contractors, they would not allow contractors to get federal contracts if they refuse to employ black people or women or homosexuals? We look at those and say, yeah, that makes sense. So I have a hard time coming up with a legal justification between that and a minimum wage. But again, understanding that this whole minimum wage nonsense is either a foolish misunderstanding of basic economics, or it's an attempt to so twist and pervert the economy that it collapses. I can see no other reason for it. All these people that say, no, it's a living wage, they don't understand the minimum wage, they don't understand how the economy works, they don't understand pricing of labor, that's nothing new. We've been dealing with these problems for, you know, pretty much since this minimum wage idea came about, long before I was around. I remember minimum wage when I was a child. And oh, by the way, if your state was not one of those on that list, maybe you should be asking your governor and your attorney general why. Now let's shift our focus to Florida, and specifically Governor DeSantis. He did an interview recently with the Epoch Times talking about states' powers to protect individual rights. And during this interview, he talked about the limits on federal police powers, parents choosing whether or not their kids should wear masks in school, how certain businesses and school districts were going against the standards set by the governor. And it was very interesting. And of course, this is being put in a very positive light. But it was followed up very quickly by an article that I saw that really caught my attention. This actually came from Breitbart, where he says, where the headline is, Ron DeSantis floats workers' bill of rights to combat forced masking. Now, I want to take a little bit of time and unpack this a bit, because there's a lot more to this than probably meets the eye. Governor DeSantis was talking how in a lot of other states, there are rules about wearing masks in public, wearing masks in restaurants. And in fact, how many restaurants in other states went out of business due to the lockdowns and other requirements. He noticed some of the things like how several restaurants were still forcing their employees to wear masks, and how odd it would be for him to show up to speak at a dinner with 500 people in attendance, none of which are wearing masks, but they're surrounded by members of the wait staff that are forced to wear face coverings while serving those in attendance. Now, I agree. I would actually love to extend that to see how many people that are pushing for people to wear masks but don't wear them themselves. But he went on to say, and I'm quoting here, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, why? Why does that do? If they want to do it for themselves, then fine. I think people should have that freedom. But in many cases, they're being forced to do it by the properties. And so I'd hate to say maybe we need a worker's bill of rights on some of this stuff just to let people breathe freely when they're working. Now, I want you to notice a couple things here. So he looks at it and says, we're dealing with something irrational here. You have 500 people, unmasked people in the room, but the wait staff are required to wear a mask. And by the way, that was not an isolated incident. You see, the Oscar Awards? Some recent awards where you see all the stars going maskless, but the people serving them, the people in support, they're wearing masks. And you look at the number of events where you see, look at the Super Bowl, where you have celebrities of all time sitting around without masks, but the wait staff in their boxes are forced to wear masks. So I agree. There is a disconnect there. There is a mental disconnect. Word I'm looking for is not coming to me. There's a fallacy. There's a logical disconnect there. But notice his response. Maybe we need like a worker's bill of rights. Now, the reason I point that out is twofold. First, see, bill of rights is a trigger phrase. It's he uses that term specifically, I believe, to get a positive reaction. We like bills of rights, right? We like our Bill of Rights in the U.S. Constitution, all the Bill of Rights and Declarations of Rights in our state constitutions. A Bill of Rights is one of those phrases that polls well. People like them. So we see people use these terms, Bill of Rights, all the time as basically saying we're going to have some rules that will protect somebody, some citizen, whether it's a worker's Bill of Rights or a parent's Bill of Rights or a patient's Bill of Rights. These are all catchphrases to say, hey, we are protecting your rights. You should like us for that. But I need you to understand something very important. What he's talking about is actually denying people rights. What, Paul? Yes. Now, you have to understand something very important. I have a whole class I teach on what is a right. You can find it on constitutionscholars.com. And I go into detail, definitions, breakdowns, descriptions. But if I want to sum up a right in two sentences, for you to legitimately exercise a right, you cannot infringe on the rights of on the legitimate rights of another. For you to legitimately exercise a right, it must not infringe on the legitimate rights of another. For example, we all have the right to free speech, right? We love the right to free speech. However, I cannot use that right to free speech to, say, lie about somebody in a court of law or defame them or slander them. There are limits. It's an illegitimate use of a legitimate right. So when we say that these workers need a bill of rights to protect them from their employers that want them to wear a mask, you're actually talking about infringing on the rights of those business owners. See, whether they're right or not, the business owners own those businesses. And they own the jobs. They have every right to establish a set of rules, a set of requirements for anybody that wants to work there. We see this all the time, whether it's a dress code, whether it's you have to work certain hours or, there are certain behaviors you're not allowed. These are all saying these are the requirements for this job. If you want to exercise them elsewhere, that's fine. But when you're on the job, there are limitations. So what Governor DeSantis is actually saying is, we want to give the employees the permission to infringe on the rights of the employer. Now, I don't say that. If the employer's making that a requirement, that is their right. As a consumer, I have the right to say, I don't want to do business with a company that treats their employees that bad. And that's the important point. You see, the problem we have, or the problem I have, is we the people don't think about the rights of others when we decide what we're doing for ourselves. We don't consider that doing business with this company, that company may be infringing on the rights of others. At least rarely do we do it. Sometimes we do for some big promotional thing, right? There's the push against slave labor in China. That's a whole other topic I won't deal with here today. Or the attacks against Chick-fil-A for actually holding to biblical values. There are those who want to stop using Starbucks because of their stance on how they're dealing with homeless. But we have to stop. We have to think about this. So my question to Governor DeSantis is, if you think this is such a horrible idea, do you think that is so bad that an employer would put a mask mandate in place for their employees? Why are you supporting them? Oh, well, I got asked to speak at, this event. Okay, I can understand that to a certain point, right? People ask me to come speak to their events, and my first reaction isn't to ask, well, gee, if you're holding this event, do they have a vaccine mandate, a mask mandate, or anything like that? But maybe we should. Maybe that should be a requirement. I'm looking at participating in some conferences this year, and maybe I should make a point of saying, hey, is there a mask mandate? Is there a vaccine mandate in place? And if so, maybe I won't support it. I think that's rather important. But what Governor DeSantis is talking about is infringing on people's rights under the guise of protecting people's rights, and we don't think it through. Now, the problem often comes up is because many states put in place illegal mask mandates. I've told the story before about when COVID first hit and my experience in a homeschool book fair in a county that recently implemented a mask mandate, and how it's illegal because it's depriving me of my liberty without due process of law. And if you want me to talk about it again, let me know. But I've talked about it. I don't want to bore people with it. I don't want to take too much time on that. But if these businesses are doing this because they think themselves it's the best thing for them, for their employees, for their customers, that's their right. If they're doing it because some government has coerced them, then the problem isn't with the company. The company's a coward. But the real problem, the real criminality, is the government that's illegally depriving these business owners of their rights. So if I want to let freedom ring, I'm going to look at this and say, listen, I want to support businesses that support rights. I've said all along, when I travel, I'm looking for businesses that have these wonderful signs out. I want to see a sign that says, we respect your rights. No vaccine, no mask, no problem. I will make a point of stopping there. If I'm traveling through a town and I see all the big, corporate restaurants and but I see a little mom and pop shop that says, hey, no mask, no vaccine, no problem. I'll go there. There's a restaurant. I forget where it is. I want to track it down because if I go anywhere near it on my travels, all of the wait staff are armed. That's a place I want to go to. In other words, I want to support businesses and business owners that are supporting freedom. But what Mr. DeSantis is talking about is using his bully pulpit to not simply shame them for their irrational behavior or their capitulation to an illegal executive order or illegal action by government or their unwillingness to stop when that government removes that or suspends that illegal law. Rather than simply promoting freedom, he wants to tell people, now government gets to tell you what you can have for a dress code for your employees. This is not letting freedom ring. I know it's being promoted that way. I've seen a couple of articles on this, and they're saying, see, let freedom ring. But it's not. It's simply trading one form of tyranny for another form of tyranny. So what do you do? How are you to deal with, you know, these businesses? What can we do? Well, you know what? Someone's come up with a pretty good idea. There's a new app coming out, still being finished. It's not quite available yet. It's called Breathe Easy. You can find it at breathez.org. And it's a neat little app. I've been talking with the owner for a while. I interviewed him on the radio program a few months ago. It's a great idea. The simple answer is you go to a business and you rate them. Are they pro-liberty or anti-liberty? Are they pro-rights? Are they anti-rights? How good are they? And they use a simple, you know, 1 to 5 system. That's wonderful. But here's the great part. See, let's say you go to this one location and they're anti-liberty, right? So you vote them anti-liberty. The app looks at your location, looks at the business and says, okay, I found these other businesses in your area that do pretty much the same thing, but are pro-liberty. In other words, it gives you the information you need to get what you need without giving up your, the rights and supporting tyranny. Now, I know they've been I know they've had some hiccups. They've been beta testing this, and they're still working on getting it all available. But this, to me, is a great idea. So, if you wanted to find out more, go to breathez.org. That's breathez.org, and find out more. And you know, maybe you want to advertise on this. Maybe I'm looking forward to getting my hands on the app so that when I go to local businesses here, I can say, see, I'm rating you. And if you're a good business, if you don't play with vaccines and masks and all that nonsense, if you don't even have a stupid sign in the window, see, I want to let you know, I'm letting other people know you believe in freedom and liberty. By the same score, if they have the little stupid mask signs up, I'm going to say, see, I'm saying you're not so free. That lets us tell other people, share this information, and then give you, not simply to say, this is a good business, this is a bad business, but I like the idea is they want to give you recommendations based on what other people have found as far as masks and vaccines and other things like that. This, ladies and gentlemen, is how we let freedom ring. Yes, it's demonstrations. Yes, it's, you know, the freedom convoy, but it's also supporting businesses that support our freedom, our rights. Yes, it's about being engaged and making sure you have a sheriff that's defending your rights and make sure you have a governor and a state legislature that's protecting your rights. Absolutely. But it's also about standing with our neighbors, looking at our, whether they're business owners or different events that are going on, or just somebody that's trying to stand up and get some good information. Letting freedom ring means protecting the rights of others. It means supporting those. Not everybody is going to get up and fight for rights and liberty. But most people can stand up and support them. You may not be the people at Attila's gym kicking in the door, but you can be part of the crowd cheering them on. You may not even be the person that goes up to the business owner and says, hey, you are imposing on me. And by the way, do like I do sometimes, walk in the front door and ask this to the manager and then show him the cash and say, this is the money I was going to spend with you, except for that stupid sign in the door. By the way, I've done that several times. I've done it more for the no firearms signs. So if you tell me you don't want me to be able to protect myself in your store, I don't trust that you're going to protect me. And I've done that. And I've said, can I speak to the manager? Yep. See this cash? This is the money I'm not spending with you because of that sign. And I turn around and walk out. Now, if they wish to talk to me, I'll be happy to talk to them about it. But I let them know they've lost money because they don't trust me. And I've let others know they've lost money because of a stupid mask mandate, or because they were cowardly and capitulated to government oppression and didn't stand up. Conversely, those who do stand up, I want to support. I want to let them know I've done that. I've done that with other small businesses in Townsend. I'm here because you did this. That's what I mean by letting freedom ring. It means living as a free citizen, not as a subject, not as a slave. And yes, it's scary because we've been brainwashed into believing that we don't have that right. We've been told to shut up and be good little cogs in the machine. We've been told to listen to the teacher and do what you're told. But it's time for us to listen to the Constitution. Listen to history. Listen to your rights and do what is right, not what you're told. And while I recognize that only about 3% of the colonists actually fought for independence, there were a third of them that supported it. And they helped support those who fought for our freedom, for our independence, and for liberty. Now, if you'd like to find out more, please head to constitutionstudy.com. You can find out more about the Constitution Study. You can have different show suggestions you can put in, or you can ask questions, but you can get involved. You can find more about my show and also get the latest podcasts if you go to AmericaOutloud.com. Look under our shows or schedules. You'll find the Constitution Study. You can be in the know, and you can help share the blessings of liberty.
Maybe you'll stay out of jail.